Hello, family. I'm Howard, and I'm not a...
Hey, Howard.
And I want everybody to stand up where you are, hug the person to the left and right of you, and let them know that they're loved.
Wish I'd have thought of it.
I've been doing that for the last 35 years. Every time I get a chance and a privilege to share in front of a group of addicts and Narcotics Anonymous. I do that because when I got here, my clean date is December 17th, 1980. Now, when I first walked in these doors, the fellowship was very small in Northern Virginia. I am from Northern Virginia, Narcotics Anonymous. I originated from the Nevada area because it was the only area three of us formed. I'm the only one left that formed Nirvana. We named Nirvana. That's how you got your name, if you're wondering your history. There was two Narcotics Anonymous meetings in the whole Northern Virginia area. And I happened to walk into the first one, and I've been here ever since. I got out of prison December 16th, 1980. I went into treatment December 17th, and that's my clean date, 1980. I went through one treatment, came to my first meeting, and I haven't found a need to get high since. You do not have to relapse. And it's not okay for you to get high. If somebody told you it was okay to get high, they fucking lied to you. Because this is not okay, Anonymous. Wrong program. Now it's okay to come back. It is no longer just say no. Drugs have declared war on drug addicts. They are dropping like flies and we are losing. So for the newcomer, don't get high, don't die. The reason I have you hug the person to the left or right of you is twofold. This disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal. If you don't know what those words mean, look them up in the fucking dictionary. This is not going to go away, people. I don't care if you've got one day or 50 years. This disease will never stop coming. Ever. I've seen people die with 30 years just as fast as I've seen somebody die with 5 minutes. There is no protection and nobody is drug proof. I did not get here because I dislike getting high. Not my story. I got here because I love getting fucking high. I had a massive love affair with narcotics. I was very intimate with narcotics. I did everything that bitch said without question. And she is a bitch. And she doesn't give you a divorce either. You can get a separation, but that bitch will never divorce you. Ever. So arm yourself with the army. Let me tell you something about myself. My first relationship started off with my mom and my dad. I have 5 sisters and 2 brothers. Out of all of them, I am the only one that comes to meetings. That doesn't mean that they don't have issues, because they're all crazy as fuck. My dad was a child molester. He molested every one of my sisters. My sisters, in turn, molested the brothers. That was my first way of intimacy. The way my father showed that he cared to all the males in the family was he beat the living hell out of you. See, the scars go away physically. They never go away on the inside. That's what I knew about intimacy. I was angry, resentful, and fearful my entire life. The third one I never admitted until I got here, because I told you I was not scared of anything. I used to be 6'4". And I used to weigh about 230 pounds. I quit drinking Jack Daniels and quit shooting dope. And I shrunk to where I am now. Let me tell you what it's like to grow up as somebody as short as me. See, in the first grade, I was 30 pounds soaking wet, and I was about this tall. Not that I'm much taller now. I had to learn to fight at an early age, because one of my major defects is I do not know how to back down. You know what happened when you back down from somebody in my family? When you went home, you got your ass beat. So it was pounded into me that there was no feelings and no intimacy since I can remember. I've been a drug addict my entire life. This did not come from a park bench, did not come from peer pressure. I cut my teeth on old rocking chair because I was given hot toddies ever since birth. I drank with my dad by the time I was 6 years old. And I don't know about you, when alcohol hit my system, it was like gasoline on a fire. What happened was I exploded. And every emotion that I had exploded with it. I've always been a problem child, or that's what they called me all my life. Why'd they call me that? Because I did not like authority. I did not know how to do what the hell was told to me. If you asked me to stand up, I sat down. If you asked me to sit down, I stood up. I am a rebel without a clue, and I have been all my life. And I thought I knew everything since birth. Now, what does that have to do with intimacy? I did not know shit about intimacy until I walked in here. I am a product of my environment. I spent 6 years in prison. And let me tell you, there is no intimacy in prison unless it's with Bubba. And Bubba stayed the hell away from me because he thought I was crazy. I was 80 pounds, hair down to here, and most of my weight was hair. I was about 5 foot tall when I walked into prison, and let me tell you, if you've never been to prison, it is not a pretty sight to be. It's not a good place to visit. And it gets old just 1 second after they lock the door. 1 second. So for all of you that thinks it's glamorous to wear a prison number, my prison number is 109501. I will remember it the rest of my life. When I came here, I went into a long-term treatment, and my only plan was to get through treatment so I didn't have to go to prison no more, so I could get out and shoot dope on the weekends. Because my plan, and what I thought treatment was to learn how to use successfully. Because I had no intentions of not using. That never occurred to me. Never occurred to me. When I walked into my first NA meeting, I figured that was where I would learn how to shoot dope successfully. I have three drugs of choices. Free, yours, and more. I never met a drug I didn't like. And I've never gone places that I didn't think I could get out of. When I came here, I walked into the Alano Club. And that was a club that we had way back when. There's a few people in here that know what it is. And I walked in there. I was fresh out of treatment. I had just gotten my own place. They said it was a dance and a meeting here. So, and I didn't dance. I've never danced in my life. But now I dance, if you haven't noticed. I walked into this place and there was some woman standing there with a hug therapist tag on, and she threw her arms around me and held me so close that I didn't think I could breathe. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to hit the bitch, hug her back, or run. What happened was I threw my arms around her the same way that she threw them around me. And I hugged her. Now what happened was that fist that was around my heart started letting up a little bit. That was my first taste of intimacy. My first taste. Then they told me I had to get a sponsor. So I picked the sickest, twisted motherfucker I could find. Oh yeah, I say fuck a lot if y'all get offended. Call your sponsor. I need your prayers. His name was Fast Eddie. He lasted as my sponsor for about 3 days after he told me what I had to do, and I said, I'm not doing that. And then I picked the sponsor I have now. I am a firm believer that you have to have a sponsor that is sicker than you. Because if you don't, they're not going to know how to help you. I came to him an angry, resentful young man. And now I'm fairly calm. I have not placed my hand on another human being in over 34 years. When I came in here, I was turning tables over and throwing chairs. So for all of you to think people are disruptive in meetings now, you're lucky you weren't here when I first walked in. Because I was disruptive everywhere I went. You think I'm bad now? Should have seen me then. I was angry, and my main goal was for you to kick me out. Because what I really wanted to do was have an excuse to shoot dope. Newcomer, if you're disruptive, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. Who's in their first 30 days here? Welcome to a new way of life. Don't use and don't die. If you don't use, I promise you, everything else will fall into place. The first thing you have to do is not use, no matter fucking what. The minute the drug enters my body, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And believe me, all I have to do is stop coming to meetings, and it doesn't take long for me to turn back into the same asshole I was when I walked in here. I can go from zero to asshole in 0.3 seconds or less. And if you think that I'm spiritual after 36 years, I am at times. But that does not mean I'm your doormat, so don't try to. Because I'm still not that spiritually fit. I had to learn how to treat people. Now, how did I do that? I have a sponsor that is very patient with people like me. You know what I did in the beginning? Because we used to be able to smoke in meetings. I know none of y'all can do that. Sucks to be you. I don't smoke now, babe. I haven't smoked in 10 years. I quit smoking 10 years ago. I would not have been able to stay in the room. What I had to do was sit on my hands until I got the right sponsor, because I always wanted to run. I never wanted to be in my skin for over 5 seconds, because I never wanted to be me. I wanted to be everybody else but me. Living inside my skin is what the intimacy is about. They say it's into me I see. It's not. It's into me you see. Because without you, I can't see me. I don't know about you. I have a defective brain for some reason. It comes up with weird shit as solutions that make perfect sense to no one but me. Perfect sense. As long as it's in my brain and I'm thinking about it, it sounds like an excellent idea. As soon as I put it on paper, I say, what the hell was I thinking? Or as soon as I tell somebody, they go, what the hell are you thinking? The first act of intimacy was with my sponsor, because I told him the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me fucking God. And if you haven't got a sponsor that you do that to, you're not going to fucking stay here. Sorry. You're not going to. The truth has set me free. First, it pissed me off. I don't know about you, I didn't know anything about the truth when I first walked in these doors, and I didn't know what the truth was for my first 5 years. Because I was sicker than most. I was pretty twisted. Even when I was telling the truth, for some reason it was a lie. My first four step, everybody talks about their four step. When I did my first four step, it was all bullshit.
Yeah.
Complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah.
It was the truth as Howard saw it. And that's why we go through the steps more than once here. I know other people tell you, well, you go through the steps one time, you can stop and only use 1, 2, and 3. I call bullshit. That's not how my sponsorship family does it. I go through the steps. I've been through them about 5 times. I'm currently on a 10th step that my sponsor seems to want to keep me on, because he knows how much I like admitting that I'm fucking wrong. Like I'm ever wrong. I cannot fix myself with the same thing that broke me. And if you think you can, you're in denial. Without you, I am nothing. I will die. I left these rooms for 4 years. Over gossip. I was going to burn some bitches' houses down while they were in it. So I left, because I didn't want to go to prison. I was going to set the bitches on fire. Four years later, my brother had to come into this room as a newcomer, and I bought him in. I came back to Narcotics Anonymous, and I haven't left since. I got really close to him, and 3 weeks ago, he decided to go in the backyard and blow his brains out. See, the problem with intimacy is once somebody like me gets close to you and I fall madly in love with you, and has nothing to, it's just like Bob said, it has nothing to do with sex. I get close to people. I bond with their spirit and their heart. And once I do that, I'm open to get hurt. I feel it when people die here. It affects me, because I know that there's a better way. What happened with my brother is the same story that you will hear every time a relapse happens or a suicide happens. He stopped going to meetings. He stopped talking to people that he had gotten close to. He got with a crazy woman. He married the crazy woman. He had children with the psycho woman. She was using the whole time, got him using, and he backed himself into a corner that he could not get out of alive. Not only clean, alive. Newcomer, don't do that to yourself. I have not painted myself into a corner I cannot get out of clean. And that's only by the grace of a loving higher power. There's nothing, I've done some work, but I am convinced this is by grace. Because I tell you, I've been prayed over. I've had my shit anointed with oil. I've been one with the universe and cosmic and shit. I was a vegetarian. I did astral projection and meditation. And the whole time I was shooting dope. I fasted for days at a time. Shot dope the whole time. I thought I was getting the poisons out of my body, and I was putting the poisons right back in. My way of thinking does not work with nothing. Intimacy starts with you. That's my experience. It didn't start with me. Intimacy started with you. Y'all loved me, and I loved you back. See, and you hear some people, especially therapeutic communities, say, "You can't love somebody else until you learn to love yourself." Shut the fuck up. I learned how to love you long before I even liked me. My saving grace was I loved you enough to start looking at myself and actually thinking I had some worth. That's where my worth came from. I opened myself up for you. See, the thing about intimacy is it's easy to get hurt by all that. But I'm telling you, it's well worth it. And if you've been hurt here because you feel that you've been intimate and they've taken advantage of it, tough shit. Do it again. Try somebody else. Your picker is fucking broken. Mine is totally wasted. I've been married twice. And I have four kids. You know where I learned my major lessons was when I had my first child. When I held my daughter in my hand, that was when my heart really started to melt. And I have three boys also. My children are she's in here. My children were the main things that taught me intimacy. You know, I was married for 17 years, and I was with my wife for 19 years before we separated. And I've been separated for 10 years. You know, there was a lot of intimacy in that, but my children was the main thing that showed me what unconditional love was, and they still show it to me today. They are the main people I am totally faithful to, totally honest with, and I give myself fully to them. And believe me, your children hurt you worse than anybody can ever hurt you. My daughter was in a meeting listening to me at 3 days old talk. I was speaking, and when I got to my bad parts, her eyes got about this big around. That's how she got the name Frog Eyes, because her eyes were always this big around. The reason I know this is a disease is because my children went into meetings with me until they were old enough to stay at home. And my daughter still got high and went out and used unsuccessfully. And she's got 10 years clean. Mm-hmm. Intimacy is a tool that I use because I have no choice. I do not want to live in anger, fear, pain, resentment. I've been praying about my brother's wife now ever since he died, and I have to pray every hour because I think horrible things to do to human beings when I go up in my brain. But it's not right. It's not my place. It's painful. My sponsor tells me whenever I'm feeling any kind of negative feeling that I have to pray for the person that I'm angry at. And the first time he told me to do that, I thought that was the dumbest shit I had ever heard. Everything my sponsor tells me to do, let me tell you why I do it. I do it because I want to prove the asshole wrong. So I do this dumb shit that he tells me. And it always works, and it pisses me off. Everything he tells me to do, it works. And it sounds dumb as hell. I'm an intelligent man, and I would have figured this shit out by now. Something that simple, I mean, the things he tells me aren't hard. He tells me to pray for them and help somebody. Why couldn't I come up with that? Instead, I had to come here and learn it. This is kindergarten, people. Kindergarten. I don't know about you, but I had to learn everything here. Everything I have in my life is a direct result of this program. Direct result. It's by grace. Purely by grace. I'm not a religious kind of guy. I'm Native American, actually. So I have weird beliefs to most people. But the power that's in these rooms cannot be replaced by anything. I trust all of you with my life. And you know, if you talk about me, you leave somebody else alone for a while. Because I'm a big boy, I can handle that. My name has been on the front page of DNA Way for years. Why? Because I had behavior issues. Oh, newsflash. Addicts have behavior issues. In case y'all didn't know that, addicts don't behave very well. Especially when they're new. So old timers, if you're wondering why that newcomer is doing shit, remember what it was when you walked in here. With your behavior ridden ass. I'm not a well adjusted human being. I'm not. And that's why I still come here. I go to a meeting almost every day. Now, I've been here quite a while. And some people don't have to do that. I am not one of those people. When I don't come in here, I start chasing people down in traffic and shit. Because I think I have power over people. Y'all are the only thing that I've ever seen that stops me from taking control of my life. A monkey can run my life better than me. A monkey. I can help you with yours. I just can't help myself with mine. Newcomer, this is all about you. And this is about relationships. If anybody told you anything else, it's very simple. This is about relationships. Because I don't know about any of you. I knew nothing about how to love, like, or anything. For anything. Not only humans, animals, everything. I mistreated everything. Because I was a hurt person. The healing process is where the intimacy comes in. And y'all are the healing process. The basic text says one addict helping another is without parallel. And the reason they say that is because it's true. I've had thousands of people try to get me off the path that I was on, and none of them succeeded until I was ready to get off the path and I found you. And the only reason I believe half of you is because y'all are just as sick, as twisted as I am. And when I walked in here, there was hardly no time in Narcotics Anonymous. If you notice that at the speaker meeting, there was about 50 people up there with 30 years or more. The lie is dead. Addicts do recover. We are not the bastard child of no program. We stand on our own. I believe in one program, one disease. My belief, I don't go to any other place but here, unless some friend of mine is celebrating in some other fellowship, and I respect them. I started off other places, but as soon as Narcotics Anonymous got off the ground, this is where I stayed. This is where my energy is put into. And I don't care how you do it. I don't care. I don't care if you, whatever you do, as long as you stay clean. Matters not to me, because I can't tell you how to run your life. But don't get high. Don't get high, because the intimacy stops then. Once my love affair with drugs start, my love affair with y'all is over. Over. Before I stop, let me tell you a little story. See, I chased after this. I was 16, and I chased after this girl. She was gorgeous. And I chased after her for about 2 months. Asked her out. And one day she came. I was on the phone with the drug dealer because I had been out of drugs for 3 days. My area was dry, and I was just getting ready to set up a deal. She walked in, took off her clothes, laid on my bed. I hung up the phone, and I was exiting out the door, and she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to get some dope."
That's right. That's right.
And she said, "You mean you'd rather go get high than lay in bed with me?" And I said, "Yeah." Needless to say, I never got laid by her. But it didn't matter, because I got high. That's when I knew I had a drug issue. I have always loved narcotics more than I loved anything until I got here and I learned to love you. Y'all are my life. My life is Narcotics Anonymous. I build my life around this program. I don't build this program around my life. That's how I do it. If you want what we have, you have to do what we do. And if you don't want to do what we do, guess what? You're not going to stay here. And that might sound harsh. Well, everybody knows I'm an asshole anyway. My experience is this does not work unless you do it the way the basic text tells us to do it. And opinions are like assholes. I have one. About everything, as a matter of fact. Keep coming. If you've heard nothing from either of us, go to another meeting. You'll find something else. But please, love one another. Don't disrespect one another. Don't talk about one another. And don't make anybody feel less than. When this becomes not a safe and loving place to come to, addicts will die. And yes, we don't cause people to relapse, but we damn sure can help them. Because as soon as I get alienated, guess what? I leave. Don't alienate each other. Treat each other with love, honor, and respect. Build relationships based on intimacy. And if you don't like somebody, love them anyway. You don't have to like them. I love everybody, and I don't like 55% of the people. So, but I love everybody. My hand is for Narcotics Anonymous. My name is Howard. It's nice to see y'all. Thank you. I love you.